We're on Daf Lamed Amud Aleph, and we're pretty much on the top of the Amud. We'll count down five lines, and we're up to Umi Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. So we need, first of all, to review Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar spoke about a ra'avtan, which, for the best translation I can come up with, is a gluttonous person. So no matter how much food you give him, he still wants more. And that's even when he's not in bidud. Okay. And the shear of mazon shtei sudos for ra'avtan, says Rabbi Shimon Elazar, does not shift. And it's not subjective, but whatever a regular person, an Adam Beinoni, would eat for two sudos, that's the amount of food he, the Ravton, needs for an Erev Tchumin. He doesn't need more than anybody else, even though he eats a lot more than anybody else. That's what we need to know as we begin the sugya. Now, what we're about to learn is a piece of Masechta Olos. We're going to be exposed to a Shtikel Olos. In fact, the seventh chapter of Olos. Olos is a massive Masechta. So whatever we can get out of the Talmud Bavli for the Daf Yomi will give us a little bit of Olos. And I once, when my youth, I tried to learn Olos. Pardon the pun, it's a killer. Somebody once said that, you know, Reb Chaim Brisker has a Sefer on the Rambam Mishneh Torah. 40% of the Sefer is on Olos. You know, Olos is very conceptual, very, very challenging. So what little piece of Olos are we going to embark upon? A little piece of the puzzle. And that's called, again, if I had a whiteboard, Sof Tuma Lotes. And just in broad sketches, what it means is, when you have a corpse inside an oel, then under certain circumstances, everything that's in the Pesach oel is contaminated. Now, the law may change in a case where the Pesach oel is closed. So we'll have to see about that. But as a general rule, the Pesach Oel, if it has certain dimensions, is Tameh, which means if you have Kalim, or if a person stands in the Pesach Oel, then we apply the principle called Sof Tuma Lotzes. That even though now this person has not yet entered into the Oel per se, he's really just standing, or the Kalim are just on the entrance way into the Oel, but nevertheless, the we're going to predict that the corpse, which you're going to have to take it out of the oil, you'll have to bury it, is going to go through that Pesach. And therefore, the Pesach is Tameh. Even though right now, you know, the mess has not been taken out of the oil through the Pesach. I already removed the Kalim. I took them somewhere else. They're not inside the oil. But if they were in the Pesach Oel at the time that the mess was in the Oel, we apply the principle of Sof Tuma Lotzes, and therefore those Kalim, we'll give that example, are Makabel Tuma. Now the issue that we're going to discuss today is what happens, but we'll get to it. I mean, I still have a few more introductions, but just you know, to see the forest from the trees, what we're trying to understand is what happens if the Pesach is too narrow for the corpse. So let's say Og Melech HaBashan dies. I don't know if Goyim or Metame, but you know, just using it. So his body is enormous, and there's no way that you could take it through the Pesach. Again, you could destroy the Pesach in order to get the mess out. We're not going to allow an autopsy, you know, chopping up the mess. You know, that's not halakhically acceptable to get the mess out. We're going to have to just destroy the Pesach, break it down. And the issue is going to be, do we apply sof tumah latzeis, assuming we have all the classic conditions have been met, and the size of the Pesach is halakhically categorized as a Pesach, but there's no reality of sof tumah latzeis, because there's no way you can get the body out of that Pesach, because the Pesach, relative to the size of the body in this case, even though it has the shear of a Pesach, is too small. So you're going to have to destroy, take apart, you know, dismember the Pesach in order to get the mess out. So it's really not sof tumah latzeis. And the Gemara is going to make, you know, it's only in Talmud Bavli you can have such an idea. The Gemara is going to make an analogy to the status of the Pesach in the case of a very large, you know, corpse. Whether or not we go with objectivity or subjectivity, do we change the law simply because in this particular case it's not sof tumah latzeis? Or do we say no? Sof tumah latzeis is an absolute shiur that applies in all cases. It's not relative. It doesn't change. And we're going to apply it by analogy the same issue with regard to an eruv. So if Og Melech HaBashan has a mouth that's wide as the ocean, and he has to eat a lot more than you and I eat, or as the Gemara calls it, Rav Shimon ben Elazar calls it, a ravton, then if I could prove to you that in Tumah Vitara, the halacha of sof tumah latzeis is a relative halacha, and it changes depending upon the size of the corpse and the relative size of the Pesach, well, with relativity in Tumah Vitara, we can apply the relativity theory in the case of Erev Tchumen as well. And therefore, Rav Shimon Elazar is in deep trouble, because if we can prove that it's the relativity theory that operates, then we're going to have to apply that to Erev Tchumen as well. So a Ravtan, who cannot be satiated by what you and I would call Mazon Shtei Sudos, he's going to require a lot more Mazon in order to set up a valid Eruv. Now, what is a Pesach as far as Tumah Vitara is concerned with Olos? What are the specific laws? So we have something called a classic Pesach, and then we have something called a Pesach Katan, which is smaller than a classic Pesach. A classic Pesach is 4 tfachim square. In other words, the width between the two mashkovs of that entranceway is 4 tfachim. Now, when you think about it, you know, that's not even one single amma. That's a relatively small area. But nevertheless, that constitutes a Pesach. Now, I'm going to read to you two or three lines here from the Masifta. He writes that Mes hanimtza b'bayis v'deles habayis skura adam okelim hanimtzoim b'chalal hapsochim Tachas HaMashkov is Enom Tachas Ol HaMes Kevan Shadeles Chotzetzes Beineim. So if they are in this airspace between the two Mashkovs, but the door is closed, and they, or their utensils, are on the other side of the door, In such a case, the door is called chotzetzes. And there's a chatzisa between them outside the door and the mess inside on the other side of the door. That would be the fundamental halacha, if not for what's called halacha l'moshe misinai. Again, Rashi has a different shita, but we're going with all the Rishonim. And there was halacha l'moshe misinai that was mafkia, that undermines this halacha of chatzitza with regard to tumas mes. So in other tumas, we're going to have a chatzitza, and normally, Adam o kelim nimtzayim b'chalal ha-pesach mi bachutz, and the door is closed, they would not contract tumah. But in tumas olos, in tumas mes, the Torah, through halacha l'moshe misinai, was mechadesh sof tumah lotzes. That although the delos is closed, nevertheless, it's going to be open in order to get the mess out of the Pesach, and roem es hadeles ke'ilu hi psucha. So the chiddush, in the broader context of Tumah V'Tara, the chiddush here in this halacha l'moshe misinai of olos, called sof tumah lotzes, is that the delos is open. What do you mean it's open? The delos is closed. I'm on the other side. But the answer is, you're still in the Chalal HaPesach, and we view the door as if it's open because Sof Tumah Lotzes. Nimtza, Shechalal HaPesach, the area, the airspace in the Pesach, is Chelek Mi'ol HaMes. Despite the fact that the door is closed, it's part of the Ol HaMes. Okay. Now, what happens if the bias where the mess is located has many psachim? The kulam skurim. So all the doors to the various entranceways into this bias are closed. The eina yodua li'eze pesach yotzius hames. Who could predict which Pesach, through which entranceway, they will take out the mess? We have no way of predicting. It's kulam tmei. All the kelim and all the people who are in all the different psachim, who are on the other side of a closed door, they're all tmeim. So sof tumah lotzes applies whenever the potential exists that the mess will go out of that Pesach. There are many psachim. Go rack your brains and figure out which one is going to be chosen. They're all to me. However, there's one proviso, that each Pesach has the minimum shear of a Pesach, which is arba tfochim al arba tfochim. So you have a number, multiple entrance ways. Each one has the shear of a Pesach of arba al arba tfochim. The doors are closed. And we're going to apply sof tumah lotzes to all these psachim, despite the fact that only one Pesach is going to be chosen. But each Pesach has a shir Pesach, and the potential exists at that moment in time when the kelim were in that Pesach that maybe sof tumah lotzes, a maybe is enough to apply the sof tumah lotzes, but only on the condition that it has the status of a Pesach. It's arba al arba. Now, what happens if you have many psachim, but there's only one Pesach Gadol, and the rest are all ktanim? Which means that one Pesach has the shear of dalet al dalet tfachim, the others are smaller than that. So that's enough to identify one particular Pesach, the larger Pesach, which has four tefachim, as sof tumah lotzes. And that's matzil all the other psachim ktanim bifnei atuma. So all the other psachim that are lacking either four tvachim in rochav or tvachim in orech, those will be saved by the one Pesach Gadol that has four tvachim by four tvachim. And that's called Vadai Yotziu Es HaMes Me'oso Pesach. So again, we're not saying that physically the mess could not go through the Pesach that's katan, but we're saying it's not likely that they would do so. Why squeeze the body when you could have more Ravchus and take it out of the larger Pesach? Alright. Now we're up to the Braisa, which is going to address the case of a Guf Gadol, a large, an unusually large physical body. Does the shear of the Pesach to be matzil other psachim change? So this is really fascinating, because when you think about it, we said that if you have multiple psachim and you cannot predict which Pesach the mess is going to go through, then all the psachim are tmeim. The only case that we had that's the exception to the rule where you could be matzil from tumah and decide that vadei it's going to go through that Pesach is when one Pesach has the shear of four and four, where the other Pesachim are ketanim. They don't have that shear. But does the mechanism go haywire when you have a guf gadol? And now, you know, we may be able to say that even if you had many Pesachim, all of which had the shear of Dalit, we can still apply the principle of Sof Tuma Latzeis Lahatzil and say that there's no Sofek with regard to the other Pesachim because we have a Guf Gadol. So we're going to choose the largest opening, the largest entranceway. Do you follow me? All of, you know, if not for Guf Gadol, we would say that all the Pesachim that are four Tfachim are all candidates for Sof to Malatzes. And we said that Sof to Malatzes is even potential if you're a candidate. But we also said that if you have a Pesach of four Tfachim and then you have a Pesach Katan, then we're not going to apply Sof to Malatzes for the Katan, but rather we're going to say Sof to Malatzes from the Gadol to be Matzil the Katan. That's not going to apply under normal conditions in a case where you have two psachim or more that are four tfachim. But maybe the rules change when you have a guf gadol. And then we can again predict that this is the Pesach that is going to be sof to malatzes, and now we can be matzil the other psachim, even if they have the shear of dalet tfachim. Where do we find a precedent to be machria and say, vadai, this is the one, this is the Pesach that I can single out as Sof to Malatzes, and therefore it's going to be Matzil the other Pesachim? The precedent was where you have one Pesach that's four Tvachim, and the other Pesachim are smaller than four Pesachim, four Tvachim. Can we generate another scenario of Hatzolah where we have a Sof to Malatzes Vadai choosing one Pesach over the others in a case of a Guf Gadol? And now we're going to look for the most convenient or comfortable Pesach to take out the mess. Now again, it's complicated because, you know, how large is this and how many different this and what's the size of the different psachim? You know, there are many variables. But in principle, conceptually, what we're trying to say is what I call the theory of relativity, in which the shiurim are no longer set in stone, in which we say, well, all these psachim have the shiur, they pass the, you know, the minimum red line here, so they are candidates. Well, wait a minute. Relative to this particular mess, we can determine which of the psachim is sof tumah. And forget about the fact that Alpi, you know, in abstract, you know, theoretical concepts there, each one of these psachim has a shem pesach, it has the required shi'urim. Forget about all that. Let's just see if we can predict which Pesach is going to be chosen for this mess because of the unusual size of the mess. So what's complicated here is that, You know, one part of the halacha is going to be absolutely objective. So if you have, under normal situations, a person dies and he's in an oel, a bayis, we're not going to say, well, you know what, this Pesach is larger than this Pesach. You know, this has five tefachim and this one only has four tefachim. That's not true. We're going to use the objective Chal Hashem Pesach. Every Pesach has a Shem Pesach. And misafek, we're going to apply Sof Tumah Latzeis to each one of those candidate Pesachim. So, for sure, this the Halach is working with objective Shiurim. With a Chal Hashem Pesach. Once you cross that border. And yet, it's not all miksha achas. It's not all one simple unified entity, because we're going to apply a subjective halach of sof tumah latzeis in a guf gadol. And then all of a sudden you have many psachim, all of which are candidates in theory, but they're not candidates in reality. And now we're going to introduce the subjective element. So it's really complicated. Umi amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar, hachi, that even a ravtan could set up a valid Erev with what's considered Muslim Shtei Sudas for you and I for a Beinoni. Is that really true? Vasanya. Now we're going to learn the laws of Olos. And specifically the author of this halacha, that Sof Tumah Latzeis depends and is reflected by the size of the body of the corpse, is authored by none other than Reb Shimon ben Elazar. He himself says, Og Melech HaBashan, which we call Gufo Golo, and he's in a bias, his corpse, and there are many psachim. Is Pischo Kimeloo, in other words, only the Pesach, which reflects the size of this unusual body. You know, it's like you go buy a suit, so they have large, what do they call them? Large suits, you know, for large people. Is instead of treating this goof like we would treat other mesim, and we would say that all the psachim that have the shear of arbal arba tfachim, they're all tameh, instead, we're going to single out one Pesach, and that Pesach is kimi luo, and it means it's kimidas gufo, that's what the word kimi luo means. And that Pesach, and only that Pesach, will be Tomei. And all the other Pesachim are going to be classified as Pesachim Ketanim. Again, now the phrase Pesachim Ketanim takes on a whole different meaning. Until now, we say Pesachim Ketanim means it didn't have the shear of Arba al Arba Tefachim. Here we're talking about other Pesachim that have the shear of Arba, and yet we're going to classify that as Shearim Pesachim, as Pesachim Ketanim. And why are they psachim ketanim? Because they're ketanim relative to the size of the corpse. And we have a Pesach Godol, which is kimi luo, which means kimi doso, kimi das gufo. Now, here I have to share with you another Mishnah. I'm hoping this won't confuse you. It for me personally, it's a little bit confusing, but hopefully we'll flesh it all out. What happens in the case of an Adam Gadol and all the Shiurim are, all the Sha'arim, I'm sorry, all the Psachim are Ketan? Does that mean, which at least I would have thought intuitively, that forget about Sof Tumah Latzeis? There's no Sof Tumah Latzeis. You don't have one single Pesach. Again, how he got in there is beyond me. Maybe he was born there, or he grew there. I don't know what. He flew in from the roof. You know, they dropped him off in a helicopter. And he says, based on the Mishnah, Im kolps hapsochim ktanim mimidoso, kulam tmeim. The Af Pesach Katan Kishir Mole Egrof Bilvat. Not only Ketanim relatively, because they may have four Tfachim, but that's not large enough for this large body, But even if they don't have the shear of four tefachim, they are a fist. That's how small it is. It's a mole egrov. Even that becomes tomei. And Rashi explains why. Kevod she'en yodua ezim yapsochim yarchivu. There's no eimanos. There's no way out here, literally and figuratively. We're going to have to find a way out. We're going to have to open up a Pesach, or I should say widen a Pesach. Is therefore eino yodua lanum be ezim pesach yarchivu kidei lotzio. Kidarko, kidarko means we're not going to, you know, we're not going to do any surgery here on the corpse. So then it comes back to that case that I mentioned, where you had many psochim ktanim, and therefore you cannot choose one over the other. So we get back to Sofek, and all the psochim are tmeim. So it's unbelievable. The halachas are so complicated here, because we're saying that when is the shear of Dalet Tfachim significant? That's when you have Psochim Ktanim, less than four Tfachim, and you have one Pesach, which is a shear Pesach of Dalet. If all the Psochim are Ktanim, then they're all Tmeim. You might have said, well, if all the Psochim are Ktanim, they should all be Tahorim, because you're going to have to take apart the psachim. No, the answer is either we'll take the mess through a Pesach Katan, if possible, and if not, we'll be marchiv one of the psachim. But each one of these psachim is a candidate for tumah lotzeis, for yitzias atumah. Harei, so let's summarize what we're getting now from this price of Reb Shimon Elazar. Shele inyan shi'uro shel ha-pesach besof tumah lotzeis mesharen lemes shegufo gadol kefi midoso velo kefi adam beinoni shepischo arba tfachim. So again, as we said before, you could have multiple psachim that have the shear of dalet tfachim, and then we would say sof tumah lotzeis from any of them, because they're all potentially good, and we could say the same thing if you have many psochim ketanim. But since you have one Pesach, which is kimloa kimidoso, that's going to be matzil all the other psochim. V'lo kefi adam beinoni. We're not going to treat a large corpse as an adam beinoni, where the Pesach of four tefachim would be tomei. In Cain, Madua le'inyan Eruv, Omer Abshim ben Elazar, She'af le'ravton, Misharim shir shtei sudos, Kefi shi'uro shel Adam Beinoni. Why is it that in Hilchas Eruvin, for Mazon shtei sudos, is Adam Beinoni is the Kovea? Whereas le'inyan sof tumah lotzeis for tumas Oel, it's not going to be Adam Beinoni, but it's going to be Adam Gadol. And if he's an Adam Gadol, we know that he's going to have to go out through a larger Pesach. All the other Pesachim are Tahorim. It's Matzil for all the other Pesachim. So comes along Abaye, and he says it's not a valid comparison. Why not? Now keep in mind, the original Brisa of Erevin, with regard to a Ravton, was presented by Abaye. You know, the Amoraim would present brises. It wasn't like today, you know, you have the Tosefta that's published. So, you know, very often each Amora had his own collection of brises. So you can understand that Abaye here has vested interest, so to speak, in farenfering, in trying to come up with an explanation for his brisa, that Ravton sets up an Erev Ke'odem Beinoni, and to reconcile that with the brisa of Reb Shimon Elazar with regard to Tuma Vitar in the case of an Adam Gadol. Hasam Hechi Avid Hadomei Nahardume Venafke? He says, in the case of a Pesach HaOel, for sure, the logic is compelling that we're not going to evaluate the Sof Tuma Lotzeis by the Shir of an Adam Beinoni. That's for sure. Because what are you going to tell me? That only a Pesach that has a Shir of Arba Tfachim is Tomei? Because Arba Tfachim is the Shir for an Adam Beinoni? He says, what are you going to do with this mess who's not like an Adam Beinoni, and a Pesach of four Tfachim is just not large enough for the exit of his body, to go out of the oil, out of the... And Abaye dramatizes it. He says, Hadome Nahadme, should we chop him up and cut him up into Evarim, Evarim, and that's how we're going to get him out of the Pesach? He says here, Ein lecha nivel gadol mizeh. That's called nivel ames. So don't even dream of the option of leaving the Pesach as it is and reducing the size of the corpse. And the answer is, we have no choice. But we're going to have to be marchiv, one of the psachim, to make it fit for his midah. And therefore, the status of a Pesach as being four tefachim wide does not grant any special status to that Pesach, because the status of four tefachim is a yichus, right? It's a status because it fits for an Adam Beinoni. And an Adam Beinoni could go out through four tefachim. So any Pesach that has four tefachim is a very fine candidate for Sof Tuma Lotzeis and will be metame all the Pesachim, insofar as we don't know which Pesach we're going to choose. But that yichus of four tefachim in a Pesach is irrelevant in a case where there's no possibility of taking the mess out through the Pesach of four tefachim. And not only that, we said before that if all the psachim are psachim ktanim, and we don't know which one we're going to take it through, then even a Pesach katan is going to be tamei, and all the psachim ktanim are going to be tmeim, because they're all in the same footage, and there's no way of predicting which one of the psachim ktanim we're going to be marchiv. But Lu Yitzuyer, we have a situation where we cannot take the mess out of the Pesach, and therefore we're going to be marchiv the Pesach, then its status as a Pesach is garnish vert. It's not worth anything. Because we have a large Pesach, which facilitates taking the mess out of that Pesach. And therefore, Bevade Asidim, we're definitely going to take him out. And not only that, let's say this is the largest of the Psochim of the house, and even that one is not large enough, but that's the one we're going to choose to be Marchiv. And therefore, there's no Adifus, there's no special status to a Pesach of Arba Tefachim. So let's say you have a Pesach of Arba Tefachim, and you have another Pesach which is five Tefachim. There's no adifus that's generated by four tefachim. That would be relevant if you had a four tefachim and a three tefachim. But when you have a four tefachim and a five tefachim, now let's look at the mess, and can we determine which one of these two psachim is going to facilitate taking... So where should be marchiv? Even though, let's say, we need to get this goof gadol out, we need six tefachim, we might as well start with a Pesach that has five tefachim and be marchiv by one tefach. The gamshu tzarech l'archava, even though we need to widen that five tefachim Pesach, but nevertheless the four tefachim Pesach has no special status here because we're not talking about another Beinoni. And Therefore, it all comes down to one issue, and that is where are we going to be marach? Where is it most convenient to be marach? And the wider the Pesach, the better of a candidate it is for Harchav. Now, if you have an Adam Gadol, and all the Pesachim are pretty much the same, and they're all four Tfachim, so then all the Pesachim would be Tomei. Because it's again unpredictable which Pesach is going to be the one that we take the best out of. What I don't understand is what would be in a case of a mess gadol, and you had a number of psachim that were four tfachim and another psachim that were ketan and that were less than four tfachim. I would say that in this case we again apply the principle that the ketanim relative to the gadolim are not called psachim, but as far as which one of the gadolim, if they're all pretty much on the same footage, then they'd all be Tmeim, like the case where you had many Ketanim, and they're all on the same grounds, and they're all Tmeim. But if you have one Pesach, which is Gadol, Kimi Luo, then that could be Matzil for all the other Pesachim in the case of an Adam Gadol. So now we swing around to understand the answer of Abaye. Avol gabi eruv ein misharin l'rav tason kishir achiloso kevin shu mishuna mishar kol b'nei ha'olam ubatel min hago l'minag shel kol b'nei ha'olam. So that again, Abai is differentiating between eruvin and tumah v'taharah. In tumah v'taharah we want to define the parameters of this halach l'mosh misinei called sof tumah lotzeis. And although there is an objective shear called four tfachim of a Pesach, which has a bearing on sof tumah lotzeis in a case where you have a Pesach of four tfachim and a Pesach of three tfachim, but that shear of four tfachim has no special yichus in the case of an Adam Gadol. Why? Because there's no way that it's sof tumah lotzeis from the Pesach that has four tfachim, unless you chop up the body, which we're not going to allow to do. So we have to take out the body intact whole. If we have no choice, but all the Pesachim are equal, and they all have four tfachim, they're all tmeim. Just like in the case where they're all ketanim. If, however, you have one Pesach, which is more appropriate for this particular mess, now you can activate the principle of sof tumah lotzeis, and you can actually pinpoint which Pesach it is. But in the case of Erevin, here we're going to apply the principle of Ein Misharin Biravton Kishir Achiloso El Misharin Kibbeinani Kiminaga Beinanim, and that's going to be an Eruv that qualifies as a valid Eruv, even though in this case of a Ravton, he doesn't eat the same amount as an Adam Beinani. Now, there's a lot of discussion here in the Achronim. He has here a whole piece from the Chazon Ish. He's got a whole piece here from the Sfas Emes. I think what I'd like to do now is leave some of those discussions. Maybe we'll get a chance to come back to it. I don't know. If not, I'm going to do it on my own, Bli Neder. But before we go on in the Gemara, and we're still harboring over the same issues, we're not starting a brand new sugya, he gives you a sentence here, which is a little bit of a background. He says, one second. Let's read the Gemara. He says, Ibailahu pligi rabbanan aleid reb shemen alazar olo. Now, in this Braisa, I'm sorry, in this Mishnah, in Olos, I'm sorry, in the Braisa, in Olos, it opens up by saying, Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer. And stylistically, that seems to imply that he is a dissenting Das Yochid. So Gemara raises the possibility that the Rabbanan would disagree, and they would hold that there's no difference in Sof Tumo Latzeis between an Adam Gadol and an Adam Beinoni. And everything hinges on whether or not you have a Pesach of four Tfachim. So that all the Pesachim that are four Tfachim will be Tmeim, and all the Pesachim that are three Tfachim or less will be Tahorim. And that's even in a case of an Adam Gadol. Toshma, the Omar Rabba Barachana Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Og Melech HaBoshon, Upischo, Biarba, which means the following. If Og Melech HaBoshon dies, and he's inside a house that has many psachim, let's say they're all locked, is Dino Kishar Mesim Upischo Basara, which means that if the opening has the shear of Arbal Arba, and the other Psochim are Ktanim, and they have less than four Tfochim, so then the Tumah is limited to Pischo Barba. All the other Psochim are Tahorim. So the Gemara wants to prove from this statement of Rabbi Yochanan that at least in Rabbi Yochanan's view, the Chachamim reject Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Why? Because Rabbi Yochanan is pinpointing that one Pesach that has Arba Tfachim. And that's where the Tumah. But the Og Melech HaBashon could not go out, he could not exit through that Pesach, because he's much larger than four Tfachim. At the end of the day, we're going to have to be Marchiv the Pesachim. So what difference does it make whether you're Marchiv this Pesach or this Pesach? This one has four Tfachim, this one has three Tfachim. All that should be irrelevant. So from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says that the general rule of Hatzolah, meaning that Sof Tumo Latzeis will apply to the Pesach of four Tfachim and the other Pesachim Ketanim will be Tahorim, and he applies that same yardstick and that same rule, distinguishing between four Tfachim and less, to Og Melech HaBashan, it means that he rejects the whole relativity theory. It means that the Rabbanan argue against Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, because according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, a Pesach that has four Tfachim has no Yichus in the case of an Adam Gadol. There will be no logical justification to point a finger at the Pesach that's four Tfachim and say exclusively that's where the Tumah lies. Four Tfachim, as we said before, is not a Yichus in the case of Og Melech HaBashan. That's the Shita of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. And yet, Rabbi Yochanan records the Shita of the Rabbanon that the Yichus of four Tfachim remains despite the fact that we're dealing with an Og Melech HaBashan. So Gemara rejects. No. The Chachamim also agree to Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Hasam, in the case of Rabbi Yochanan, the Ikah Psachim Ketanim Tuva, Vika Chadavi Arba. If you have many Psachim, only one of which is Arba Al Arba Tfachim, the rest are Ketanim, So Rabbi Yochanan says that in this case, if you had to predict which of the psachim would be the most likely candidate for harchava to get the mess, the ogla out, you're going to choose the four tvachim Pesach, not because of this objective shear and chal shem Pesach of four tvachim. And it's irrelevant if you have an Adam Gadol, because it's totally objective. No! Even Rabbi Yochanan would accept the principle of relativity, and Og Melech HaBoshen changes the rules of the game, but the reason why Rabbi Yochanan points out that only Pesach that's Tomei is the one with four Tfachim is simply because we can predict that that's the one that there'll be Marchiv. Devadai Kiko Marchiv Be'ahuko Marchiv. When they're ready to take the mess out of the bias, and they have to choose one Pesach for Archava, because the mess won't fit, then for sure they're going to be Marchiv that Pesach that has Arba Tfachim, rather than choose a smaller Pesach. And therefore, if we can know and predict up front which one they're going to choose to be Marchiv, is Matzil al Sharp Sochet. Now, the way I understand it is that at this point in the Gemara, if you would have all the Psochim being Arba, Tfachim, or all the Psochim being Ktanami Arba, then everything would be Tomei, because there's no way that you could predict Sof Tumah Lotzes. Or for that matter, let's say you had a bunch of Ktanim and a bunch of Gedolim that were four Tfachim, then I would say that all the four Tfachim Psochim would all be Tomei, and all the Ketanim would be Tar. But amongst the various Psochim of four Tfachim, I couldn't choose one over the other, and go figure out, go predict which one they're going to be Marchiv, and therefore we'd have to use the principle that we said before in Safek, that any candidate for Sof Tumalotzeis is Tomei. So Og Melech HaBoshon, let's go back to Rabbi Yochanan, is Pischo B'Arba, which means the Pesach that has a shear of Arba Tfachim is going to be Matzil, it's going to save all the other Psochim, the smaller Psochim Yilatamos. And when Rav Shimon Elazar says that Og Melech HaBoshon Pischo Kimeloo, that's a case where the Psochim are larger than four Tfachim. V'oz hadinu shekol zman shein pesach echad gadol midoso kol ha-psochim tmeim shein yedu amezehem yarchivu lo tzios ames aval im yesh pesach kimidoso sheoz bevadai mi pesach zeyo tziyu hareyu matzil al shar psochim mi litamos, and only this one pesach is tome. So there's no stira between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. They're all on the same radar screen. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan uses the principle of Og Melech HaBoshon Pischo B'Arba, he's talking about a case where there's one Pesach that's Arba, all the other Pesachim are Ketanim. And when Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says Og Melech HaBoshon Pischo Kimeloo, he's talking about a case of many, many Pesachim Gedolim, and now you have to choose which one is going to be Tomei, and can you apply the principle of Hatzola? And the answer is that if you have a Pesach Kimeloo, and therefore you know for sure up front they're going to take the Og Melech HaBoshon out of that Pesach is Tomei, and all the other Pesachim are Tahor. Just read one or two notes here. He says, the Maskonas HaGemara, Divrei Reb Shimon Elazar lo nemru ela biofen shapsochim gdolim lechol apochos arbot fachim v'oz kulam tmeim ad shiye echad meim kimidoso shel ames. Aval ha psochim aktanim mi'arba psochim mi'arba tfachim enam tmeim. Afal pi chen kosav Rashi kan, Shekol she'ein pesach kimidoso shel mes, gam ha'psochem ha'ktanim mi'arba t'meyim. That's interesting, because I would have guessed that if you don't have one specific Pesach as the chosen candidate, then we would differentiate between the shear of a Pesach of four tefachim and the Pesach katan doesn't have the shear. He's saying that even though there are psachim that have four tefachim, then even the ketanim will become tmeim. Mipnei shesova Rashi shebetchila sova Gemara sha'af biofin ze sova Rabbi Shimon shegam apsachim ketanim tmeim. Oh, rak lemaskonas haGemara nischadish shedvorav lo nemru el biofin sheish kama psachim gedolim. Arba Yoser. So we're going to exclude the Ketanim, the Maskona, because they're a Pesachim Gedolim. And if there's one particular Pesach that's Kemidos, then we're going to exclude even the Pesachim Gedolim. So that's one thing that we wanted to see. Now, I wanted to see this, and let me just see where it belongs. Just want to give this a little bit of an address. So we said that if all the psachim are ketanim arba, then kulam tmeim, because we don't know which one he's going to eventually open up and widen to bring out the mess. He says kigon shiyesh Shlosha Psochim B'shi'urim Shonim. One is a Tefach, one is two Tefachim, and one is three Tefachim. Is Hadinu Shekol Shlosha Sapsochim Tmeim. So within that category of Ketanim, we don't differentiate. They're all one entity. Ein Omrim Shagak Ze Sheyesh Po Shloshi Yetameh. Even though, again, it's Mistaber that when they're going to be Marchiv, they'll choose that one. Mishum shedafka k'sheish Pesach shir arba tefachim. This is the objective hilchos shiurim element in the sugya, and there's only one Pesach that has a shir arba tefachim, which is roi. It gives it a chal shem because it's roi lemes rogil for your average person. Oz moel masha omed Pesach zel archivo. Then we're going to use that logic of harchava. In a case of an onam gadol yoser, lachshiva lepesach shalom mesagadol latzil sharp psachim ilutame. Aval kishe ein biechad min apsachim kishir piskol shal mes rogil, afshe min astam yarchivu es hagadol biyoser mi bein haketanim. Right, the one that has three tvachim, as opposed to one that has only two or one. Is Masha Omi Larchova Eno Machshivo Lepischo Shel Mes Lahatzil Al Shar Psochim Kaven She'enzu Ela Machshova Bilvad Vadayin Mechusar Maisa Harchov. So that's the Chiddush here of the Sfas Emes. Now, if you have the following Shirim of Psochim, you have Arba Tfochim, you have Eser Amos, and you have Esrim Amos. In such a case, Adinu shekol shloshtam, kol shloshtam psachim tmeim. Even though they're so radically different in size, even the one that's arba tfachim is tamei. V'rakim echad mehem hu kemidoso shal ames, shayach shar psachim l'tahorim. So again, that's the Achronim learning up Rashi. Again, intuitively, I'm not sure if I would have said so, but he's saying that unless you get to that bingo, you know, if you hit the bell on top, that's Kemidoso Shalames, then all the other Pesachim have the same status, except again, Ketanim, we said. Now he says, "Im niftach echad me'apsachim, o shechishev lahutzi esemes me echad me'apsachim, kol apsachim tmeim." Af legabi shel gabi mes rogil shaninu shabofin sheniftach o chishev al pesach sheish bar ba kak pesach le tome ani dafka ksha pesach sheniftach o shechishu olav roy loso mes vi oz af kshiyesh kam psochim she b'shir ze kevin she zeh niftach o zeh chishev olav rak hu tome avol benido nenu she ein shum pesach she roy le mes ze. Right, in the case of a mes gadol, el tzorch laharchiv es echad me'apsoch v'tei lahotzi abayis ein shum ma'ilo b'kach she'niftach echad mehem o shechishev alav shadayin ein yadua eizem mehem yarchiv. This also, I think, reflects what we saw before in the Sfas Emes. And finally, he offers a sikum ha'sugya. He says in two situations, there's no difference between a mes rogil and ogmel chabosha. Number one, im kol hapsochim b'shir arba tfochim, o shukulam ketana me'arba, kol hapsochim tmeim, and that will apply whether or not you're dealing with a benini or a mes gadol. And number two, furthermore, im yesh pesach echad b'shir arba v'shar pesachim ketana me'hem, rak ha'gadol tamei. So where is the difference between Ogmel Chaboshan and a Meis Beinani? Rak ba'ofen echod yesh hevdel, blah, blah, blah. V'hu, k'sheyesh pesach echod gadol k'midoso shel og, shara psochim k'tana mimenu, afal pi sheyesh b'hem arba tfochim. Sheba'og, rak ha'pesach ha'gadol, shehu k'midoso tomei v'ashar tahorim. Uvishar meisim kol apsochim tmeim, sheikulam ruuyim lahotzi es hames. Okay, we'll stop here. So, Mirz Hashem, on Yom Rishon, we'll pick up the sugya here on Lamed Omer Aleph, Omer Abchia Bar Rav Ashi, Omer Rav, which is, I would say, approximately 14 lines down from the top.